Today on VFN TV, we're going to be discussing very first meeting that just happened right now with President Obama and Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel, Prime Minister, since the Iran deal was kind of finished, if you will. Also, we're going to be talking about a Palestinian woman right in the public street tried to attack an Israeli security guard with a knife, as well as Senator Ted Cruz introduces a new bill, new legislation, that would actually designate the Muslim Brotherhood a foreign terrorist organization. Watch now.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
This is what I saw this morning. The United Apostates of America. Boy, when I saw that, my heart dropped. But it really set it for me that America has become, by and large, apostate now.
Deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs have to be changed.
We've got our back up against the wall in a way that we haven't before. You're going to have to bow or you're going to have to burn. We're choosing to stand up, and if we burn, we burn, but we're not going to bow.
It was quite a shock for us because we used to watch the news on TV that ISIS took over Mosul, but we've never thought someday in a few hours we'll be out of our homes.
I mean, we're talking about not a 25-year, not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
We haven't seen this level of rain in the Lowcountry in 1,000 years. That's how big this is.
We in the administration and the government should give voice to the plight of Muslims living in this country.
I've come here to Cairo to seek a new beginning between the United States and Muslims around the world, one based on mutual interest and mutual respect, and one based upon the truth that America and Islam are not exclusive and need not be in competition. Instead, they overlap and share common principles.
We already know the news. We're trying to change that news.
You have to be blind not to know that America is in real trouble.
Christianity started as a relationship in Israel when God came to man. It went to Greece to become a philosophy, to Rome to become a religion, to Europe to become a tradition and part of the culture, and then to America to become an enterprise.
What I got so clear in a dream last night that I believe is pretty imminent for our country. They were invading the Southwest United States. There were droves. It was coming like a plague. They were ranked in these gangs, and these gangs were like military gangs. They had military equipment, but their ranking was based, I think, gained by their cruelty and by their insatiable desire to be even more cruel in the way they killed people. This was far more diabolical than ISIS. I mean, what I saw, just cutting off people's heads would have been merciful. It's pretty imminent for our country, the United States.
Every day of freedom is like an act of faith. And if we should die trying to live, then at least we die like human beings.
You know, we're at that moment in time, and what are we going to do with it? Understand this, if God's on your side, you're on the majority side, no matter if the whole world is against you.
You were born under an appeal to me, and when there was no way, I made a way. And no matter how bad it looks today, how big the giants look, if you'll call on everlasting God and you'll tap into that covenant, you'll take out these giants.
He asked me to come and pray for him and also pray for the city. Would you extend your hands this way? Father God, we just thank you for our new chief, David Alexander. We thank you for the man of God he is. Lord, you said that the seat of the righteous will rise and the seat of evil will come down. And we just declare those words over the Gulf Coast, God, and we pray, Lord, that we would dedicate the city to you.
We've come this night to Capitol Hill to declare that our God is not Baal, our God is not Moloch, our God is not government, our God is not money, our God is not power, not pleasure, our God is not political correctness or any other man-made thing. We've come to this hill to declare that there is only one God, and he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of Israel and of all nations. He alone is the rock upon which this nation has come into existence.
If you want biblical times, You've got it. You want the book of Acts? It's coming. You want the days of Elijah? It's here. It's time to become the Elijahs of the day.
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
May I say just a word to those of you who are struggling against this evil? Let me say to you to always struggle against it with Christian methods.
How many times have you screamed and yelled at your TV because of secular media was saying things you know wasn't true, some sort of political persuasion? They were given 5-second blurb to a miracle of God, and you got upset with it. But you go back to it again and again and again. What can you do? This is an answer.
Lord, raise up mighty men and women. Raise up young people. Raise up voices, not echoes. Voices that can cut through and make politicians and judges shake in their boots. Raise up prophetesses. Put a sure word in their mouth. Let it hit the news channels. Let America know God is not through with America. Revival! Revival!
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
TV, I'm John Ramos. I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster, and joining in a few is Steve Kolesheski. My goodness, we have so much to talk about in today's program, but we're going to be talking about how Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu just met with President Barack Obama. This is the first meeting since this whole push, this whole wave that basically is allowing Iran to pursue nuclear weapons. And so the idea behind this meeting is, hey, can peace come out of this? Can there be an agreement that will support Israel in the future? So there's a dialogue taking place. I want you to listen and watch this report as it begins to unpack what this meeting was all about.
Today, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu meets with President Obama at the White House. It's their first face-to-face since the U.S. signed the Iranian nuclear deal. CBN's Chris Mitchell looks at how this could set a tone for U.S.-Israeli relations for the rest of Obama's time in office.
It's no secret the relationship between President Obama and Prime Minister Netanyahu has been one of the most strained in the history of U.S.-Israel relations. Former Israeli Ambassador Michael Oren says the Iranian nuclear deal adds a new layer of frost to an already cold relationship.
The issue will be, how can the United States help Israel grapple with the greatly enhanced dangers that have been created by the deal?
Oren points to Israel's northern border to cite a major example of that enhanced danger. Hezbollah terrorists in Lebanon receive $1 billion from Iran each year.
With the $1 billion a year, Hezbollah has purchased 150,000 rockets, all pointed at us. This year, Iran's going to get $150 billion in sanctions relief. That number over the next coming years is going to go up to about $700 billion. So how many rockets will Hezbollah be able to buy with $2 billion, $3 billion, $10 billion?
Oren says Israel should go on the offensive against Iran.
We need not only to defend ourselves against Iran, we need to deter Iran.
In part because of the Iranian nuclear deal, Israeli opinions of President Obama are at historic lows. More than 60% consider him the worst U.S. president for Israel in the past 30 years. And nearly 80% believe the Iranian nuclear deal puts Israel in danger. We found those views reflected on the streets of Jerusalem.
He's abating, you know, with the other countries, Iran and Iraq, and treating them like allies rather than Israel.
I think that people feel very insecure because of Obama. I don't think it seems like he's very ignorant as to the position he takes on with respect to Iran.
I think he's the most anti-Israel president since Jimmy Carter. I'm very happy that his term is ending, and I'm hoping that the next president will be pro-Israel.
Oren came to Washington as ambassador, then watched an international friendship turn sour, and wrote about his experiences in the book Ally. He still believes, regardless of the strain, that U.S.-Israel relations are crucial to the stability of the region and the world.
We are the barometer. We're the litmus. And if America's other allies in the world look at America's relations with Israel and see a strain there, they will have a moment of sort of questioning America's commitments to its allies worldwide.
Chris Mitchell, CBN News, Jerusalem.
Wow, it's so important because right now, think about it, with $1 billion from Iran, Hezbollah has been able to fire so many rockets into Israel, not to mention what's happening and has happened with Hamas in the Gaza Strip. Now they could potentially get over $700 billion. Let me tell you something, it's time for us to make sure that we continue to pray. Listen, right now, even though the administration may not seem to be most favorable towards Israel, by far a great majority of Americans and a great majority of our elected representatives in the Senate and the Congress, they stand for Israel. Listen, right now it's been very kind of quiet, but just before it you think it's going to just level out, something else happens in Israel. This is a country that has to be vigilant all the time and stay alert, because the minute that you fall asleep, the minute that you close or wink your eyes, you can become the next victim. Unfortunately, this security guard in Israel, we're about to share with you and show you a video of a Palestinian woman who attempted to stab and probably kill this Israeli security guard. And you have to pay close attention, because at first she, it looks like she was just asking a couple of questions, and then before you know it, she brings out a knife. Watch this. Hey, did you see that? They were just talking. He was just casually. She goes into her purse, and just within a few seconds, she pulls out this huge dagger. Luckily, he was able to get away. But this is the type of situation that many Israelis are living in every single day, whether it be a bomb, whether it be some sort of explosion somewhere, whether they be now knifed. And don't forget that it was Secretary John Kerry who actually introduced and actually almost threatened Israel with a third intifada. It is time for us to continue to pray, not to grow weary, not to put it in the back of our mind, but to be vigilant towards our prayers and the awareness of what's happening to Israel. More we get right back from this break. When we come back, we're going to be discussing the Muslim Brotherhood and a new bill that was introduced in Congress that would actually designate the Muslim Brotherhood as a foreign terrorist organization. Join us in a few.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Welcome back. My goodness, Steve. Mm. Just you never know when someone's going to pull out a knife on you in Israel. You know, when I had a chance to go to Israel some time ago, I was very concerned as I was walking through Jerusalem and some of the different areas, because you just never know what could happen. And the people were on high alert back then, and as they still are today. And they continue to live in the crosshair, if you will, of their enemies. And so you don't tend to kind of fall asleep under those type of circumstances. And I would tend to think that you begin to start living life really on purpose and not on accident, and you maximize every day, because you never know what day could be your last. And so very interesting. But we're going to be talking about in this program about this new bill that was being introduced. But before we do that, it recently was just reported, we've been talking about on this program for some time now, about the wave of immigrants that have been entering into Europe. I mean, by the tens of thousands. Some reports are that right now, the United Nations has about 20,000 of these refugees that are leaving Middle East, Syria, for sure, for safety. And that they have about 20,000 of them already in the pipeline to be entering reportedly 180 cities in the United States, Steve, 180 cities. But we've been speculating, and many people have, that in these droves, these massive amounts of people that are flooding Europe right now, that are overtaking Germany, that there potentially could be some terrorists in that group, members of ISIS. And many videos and pictures just show large numbers of men. You don't see any children. It's like, okay, they've got iPods in their hands, phones. Like, where are you guys fleeing from? And it was just reported that we have an image for you of this man, but a terror Al-Qaeda terror boss was just nabbed in Italy, Steve. Apparently, he was responsible for different attacks. He was arrested once before. He was arrested and convicted in Italy, and he has an explosive background with explosives and detonation and things of that nature, and he was apprehended.
But that was one.
That was one. The question is, how many are flooding these borders with evil intent to do harm, to do jihad, to do terrorism acts? This is in Europe, and it's slated now. They're making plans for in the new coming year to be able to absorb them in the United States. And so this is a big deal because, you know, it used to be that you could take down a nation. I mean, you look at what happened with Pearl Harbor when Japan just, you know, took great air power, took strategy, took a whole military to attack us. And that happened, you know, on the attack of Pearl Harbor. And then you go some years later and it just took a couple of planes, you know, before. And then on 9/11, two planes hit the World Trade Center. And that was a major attack. We lost 3,000 Americans during that period of time, during that attack. And now today, I mean, you can have one person. I remember during Patriots Day, the big run that they had in Boston, where they had these two jihadists, these terrorists, these brothers, that had a bomb that went off during the run. And I can remember watching on my television screen how just because of two men, Steve, one of which let a bomb go off right there in the middle of this running, this marathon, they shut the entire city of Boston down. I mean, they couldn't go anywhere. There were no cars on the road. And they began doing a search house by house. It took hours to apprehend this individual. One wound up being shot and killed, and the other one was being apprehended as he was hiding in a boat. But here's the deal. I mean, you're noticing that it doesn't take any more what it used to take. It could now be a lone wolf, as they say, a one person. And we have to really be vigilant and be alert and understand that there are people that really want to do us harm. The question is, there's so many people today are asleep. They don't even have a consciousness of what's even happening in our own country.
Yeah, it causes me to even consider, you know, when you're talking about Israel a moment ago, it's just like you think about the resiliency that the Israeli people are. It's like they have been under that constant, whether it's rockets, whether it's suicide bombers, whether it's somebody coming at you with a 12-inch knife. These are people that are constantly aware of their surroundings, and they're a resilient people. And it's just like, if we don't pay attention to what is happening, we're seeing it increasing in the West. We're seeing it increasing in our own nation. It's like, you know, you're exactly right. We can't continue this mindset of, you know, that'll never happen. That'll never happen, because now it's happening.
It's happening. This is a new normal, America, sad to say. And it's going to take all of us to be alert, all of us to be aware. And it's going to help. It's going to take our elected representatives to understand what jihad is, understand what you know, that there are 1.2, yes, Muslims, not all Muslims are radical, not all Muslims want to do jihad, but according to Bridget Gabriel and some estimations, that 15% of all Muslims, which is approximately 310, 320 million people, are jihadists, are radical. Well, that's still a lot of people. And we want to, you know, not have this type of terror in the United States or really anywhere in the world. And I think about what is happening right now. Right now, Congress has an opportunity. The Senate, there's a bill that was just being introduced by Senator Ted Cruz of Texas, and it's called the Muslim Brotherhood Bill Act of 2015. It's called the Muslim Brotherhood Terrorist Designation Act of 2015. And it basically, the aim of this bill is to do just that, designate the Muslim Brotherhood as a foreign terrorist organization. And why is that important? Why is it important we do that? Because we have spoken extensively on this program in regards to the Muslim Brotherhood and their history and what they've been able to do throughout the world. In fact, eight other countries, Steve, have already banned the Muslim Brotherhood from their country. Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Syria, the United Emirates, Bahrain, and Russia have all banned them from their own country, yet the United States has not. In fact, some reports are that they've been invited to the White House, and they're very, very influential in this country. But if you remember that our president's very first international speech was at Cairo University when Hosni Mubarak, who was the president of Egypt at the time, was not even invited to this speech. In fact, he didn't show up because the president had invited the Muslim Brotherhood to this speech. And in this speech, he really shares some very interesting things. In fact, I want you to listen about what he felt from this very first speech, what he feels is his responsibility. Watch this.
So I have known Islam on three continents before coming to the region where it was first revealed. That experience guides my conviction that partnership between America and Islam must be based on what Islam is, not what it isn't. And I consider it part of my responsibility as President of the United States to fight against negative stereotypes of Islam wherever they appear.
Understand what he said. He said that he feels that it's his responsibility to defend negative stereotypes wherever they may exist. And understand that as an individual, as a citizen, you're free to have whatever opinions, I mean freedom of speech. However, as a president, that's not your responsibility. As a president, your responsibility is to defend our borders, but definitely not
defend
to...
defend the Constitution.
Yeah, defend the Constitution, but not to defend negative stereotypes for anybody. Not just Muslims, for anybody, because it's not your responsibility in the capacity and the title and the position that you hold. But it was interesting that shortly after that speech and that the president, who had been there for years, Hosni Mubarak, was overthrown, and then they had a new election, and the Muslim Brotherhood ran their candidate. If you remember, Morsi won the election to be the president of Egypt. He was a Muslim Brotherhood candidate. What were the things that took place as a result of the Muslim Brotherhood being in charge of Egypt? Well, we start to see that Christians began to be persecuted, very large numbers of them, that over 70 church buildings were torched and lit, burned to the ground, Steve. And it was almost a year to the day that Morsi took office that Egypt saw huge gatherings of protesters, of citizens that were saying, no, we can't have this. In fact, they even went as far as suspending their constitution with an aim and a goal, some reports are, to actually institute Sharia law in Egypt. And so the Egyptian citizens rose up and said, out of here. They overthrew him. And they wind up electing the general at that time, al-Sisi, who is currently the president of Egypt. So you see this, you can understand why they've been outlawed, outlawed in Egypt.
Eight countries have outlawed them.
And seven other countries now, besides Egypt, right? Because they have a history of doing things. Now, when we get back from this break, we're actually going to discuss and show you an amazing video that talks about Muslim Brotherhood 101. We want you to have all the facts. We want you to gather all the information for yourself. In fact, we are going to relate everything for you on the torch so that you can make your own investigation. You can actually, you know, sift through the paperwork, if you will, and come to your own conclusions. But we got to understand, why is it that a bill is being introduced right now by Senator Cruz to designate the Muslim Brotherhood as a foreign terrorist organization? More when we get right back from this break.
Thank you for watching VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. LIGHT.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Culture, issues, society. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
Why, if the government says that abortion is not murder, is Scott Peterson being charged with the murder of his wife and his unborn child?
In California, in order to get the death penalty, you have to have two counts of murder. So the DA there wisely indicted on both counts, both one count for the mother and one count for the unborn child, Connor Peterson. It was, you know, a crime to have the child killed by a murder, by an act of murder. But in California, for instance, under the district court's ruling, the Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act, which prevents basically infanticide, was deemed to be unconstitutional. So it is a dual nature, and there's no way to rationally justify it. It's just, this is what I call the abortion distortion factor. It's as if the rules change when you're litigating over abortion.
Get involved. Find out how at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
We found another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's the Torch newsletter. Every week, the Torch goes out into your email, whether it's on your phone, tablet, or home PC. The Torch newsletter is going to give you the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. It's also going to give you all the latest highlights. Of course, you can sign up by going to VFNTV.com and selecting newsletter sign up, or you can text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.
It's just amazing what's taking place. But listen to this, the author of The Game Plan, The Game Plan, which is Kevin Freeman. Kevin Freeman talking about, well, this is what we're believing for, is a third great awakening. A third great awakening in America, but this is the key to it. Listen up.
If we lose everything, it's okay, as long as we know who's in charge and that we have each other.
That's right.
And that we know what's important. There's no doubt. Is there any doubt in your mind? If we know that, we win.
We not only win, but if we cry out to God, we repent of our hedonism and everything else, and we invite the Holy Spirit to come and move through this earth, we won't only win, we will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
Welcome back to VFN-TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We're going to take you straight to Muslim Brotherhood 101 so you can get a history of this organization, what they were founded on, what's their motto, and what is their end game goal. Watch this.
Today, the Middle East stands on the brink of full-scale conversion to Muslim Brotherhood fanaticism, yet President Obama does not seem to see the problem. President Obama's hand-picked director of national intelligence, James Clapper, said that the Brotherhood is, quote, largely secular, unquote. President Obama seemed unconcerned about the rise of the Brotherhood in Egypt. In fact, he invited Ikhwan members to his Cairo speech in 2009, tailored the speech to meet the Brotherhood's grievances and indulge his narratives, and cozied up to Muslim Brotherhood American satellites despite their involvement with terror groups all across the world. The Obama policy of courting the Muslim Brotherhood has not changed the brothers. It has empowered them to advance their anti-American program. They are now on the verge of control in Egypt and Libya, and their ideology dominates the Muslim world. But what is the Muslim Brotherhood? Well, in 1928, a young Egyptian educator known as the Guide to his followers and Hassan al-Banna to the rest of the world founded a group called the Muslim Brotherhood. The movement was virulently anti-colonial, but not because Banna was a nationalist or an Egyptian patriot. He was neither. Banna's loyalty was to the Muslim Ummah and the ideal that Islam must dominate across national lines. He was anti-colonial because he abhorred the West. The Brotherhood's development was spurred by Turkey's rigorous campaign of secularization. Following the final defeat of the Ottoman Empire in World War I, Kemal Atatürk had spearheaded a successful independence movement, expelling occupiers and establishing an independent state. Determined to turn westward, Atatürk drove Islam out of the public square and marginalized it in the classroom. In 1924, he abolished the caliphate, a symbolically shattering event for Muslims. Banna had drawn precisely the opposite conclusion of the sorry state of the Muslim world. For him, Islam was the solution. The problem had been too little of it, not too much, and not just any Islam. Banna had in mind a very particular brand, Salafism. The term Salafia comes from a phrase meaning righteous ancestors, referring to Muhammad and his companions. Banna believed that by mixing Islam with modernism, Muslims had strayed from the path. And the only way to restore the Islam of the founders was to faithfully implement divine law called Sharia. With Sharia's injunctions firmly in place, the Muslim nation would inevitably rise to the hegemony that was Allah's due. The Brotherhood remains the foremost power in the Middle East because of its credo. Allah is our objective, the Prophet is our leader, the Quran is our law, jihad is our way, and dying in the name of Allah is our highest objective. It's widely perceived to be representative of true Islam. In the late spring of 2011, the Mapping Sharia Project published conclusions from an important study. After surveying 100 randomly selected mosques across the United States, the authors found that 81% of them disseminated Islamic texts that advocate violence. In nearly 85% of the mosques, the imam favorably recommended this literature for study by congregants. Moreover, 58% of the mosques invited guest lecturers known for promoting violent.
Think about this. This is who the Muslim Brotherhood is, and this is their own motto. This is their mission statement, if you will. Allah is our objective. The Prophet is our leader. The Quran is our law. Jihad is our way. Dying in the way of Allah is our highest hope. I'm going to read that to you again. This is the Muslim Brotherhood's motto. This is what they believe. This is their vision statement, if you will. Here it is. Allah is our objective. The Prophet is our leader. The Quran is our law. Jihad is our way. Dying in the name of Allah is our highest hope. Mm-hmm. Understand that this is their ideology. This is what they are trying to do. And reports are is that they've infiltrated the United States. They've infiltrated our government, and they want to do all sorts of type of jihad here in the United States. Some of it is through physical force. Some of it is through co-opting messages and infiltrating the university systems, even textbooks. I mean, listen, there's a long strategy engaged here. And if we fall asleep on our watch, before you know it, we don't need a Trojan horse. You know, Trojan horse was you know, the enemy snuck in with a gift with a whole bunch of soldiers in there. And then when they fell asleep, all these soldiers popped out. This is a, you know, very general history. But the idea is that they snuck in. Well, there is no sneaking in now. I mean, it's almost like we're imploding from the inside out. And not because of anything but of ignorance, closing our eyes, and, you know, let's not forget, maybe the judgment of God. I mean, when we turn our backs on God, when we've abort and murder over 50-plus million babies since 1973 when, you know, Roe versus Wade made abortion legal in our country, to think that up until that point it was actually considered murder to end the life of a baby, of a child— that actually legalized murder. And to think that just for that alone, but think of all the ways that we've turned back from God and away from God, and could we possibly be looking at judgment? Listen, it never goes well for a nation, for a people, for a person who turns their back on God. I'll never forget what Leonard Ravenhill was quoted as saying. He said the greatest sin in the world, the greatest sin that one can commit, is not adultery. He said the greatest sin that someone could commit is attempting to live a life independent of God. And many, many people are on that road today. They're on that slippery slope of saying, I don't need God. We don't need God in our homes. We don't need God in our families. We don't need God in our communities. We don't need God in our nation. In fact, there's a state in Oklahoma. They wanted to, they put, it was a Detroit, Oklahoma, that put a monument to Satan in their city. How can you expect the blessing of God upon your city when you put a monument to Satan in your city? You are provoking God. And now we're looking at a situation where people want to do the United States harms and those who live in the country. I want you to watch Bridget Gabrielle. She was invited by the Family Research Council, and she details a plan that was discovered in regards to Muslim Brotherhood and their plan to destroy America. Watch this.
I am holding in my hand the Muslim Brotherhood plan for the destruction of the United States, written 5/22/1991. The title of the plan is مذكرة تفسيرية للهدف الاستراتيجي العام للجماعة في أمريكا الشمالية. You all got that? There will be a quiz. It is titled the Muslim Brotherhood, an explanatory memorandum for the general strategic goal for the group, the Muslim Brotherhood in North America, written 5/22/1991. This plan was presented as evidence in the Holy Land Foundation trial, the largest terrorism trial ever in the history of the United States, where our government handed down, hello, my best friend, where our government handed down 108 guilty verdicts for Muslim Americans and Muslim American organizations raising money for, to support terrorist organizations in the Middle East to the tune of millions. And I'm just going to read you a paragraph of this plan, so it'll give you an idea of what I'm talking about. They talk about the settlement in the United States. And I have to put my glasses on because God in his wisdom decided I turned 49 and I needed reading glasses. Wait until I get to heaven. I'm convinced he's a man. If he was a woman, he would know I would look better without glasses. Understanding the role of the Muslim brother in North America. The process of settlement is a civilization jihadist process with all the word means. The Ikhwan, which is the Arabic word for brothers, must understand that their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within and sabotaging its miserable house by their hands and the hands of the believers so that it is eliminated and Allah's religion is made victorious over all other religions. Is this clear? They don't mince words, do they? But the most important page of this document is the last page. Because in the last page, they list 29 front Islamic organizations set up in the United States with the specific goal of sabotaging America from within and destroying America by our own hands. And I'm just going to name a few. Number one on the list is ISNA, Islamic Society of North America. And if you're familiar with ISNA, it's because they are now advisors to President Obama about Middle East policy. So we not only have the Fox watching the hen house, we have the Fox inside the White House dictating policy in the ear of the president. Number two on the list is the MSA, the Muslim Student Association. The Muslim Student Association has more chapters on American college campuses than the Democrats and the Republicans combined. Number eight on the list is NAIT, the North American Islamic Trust. The North American Islamic Trust owns the deed to over 90% of American mosques in the United States. That is a problem. Now, what makes this very important, and I'm going to focus in the last 3 minutes, 5 minutes on education, is to show you how they set up every organizations in this plan to destroy America, focusing on every sector of our society. Organizations focused on publishing, organization focused on media, organization focused on education, with the strict purpose of doing sabotage to America from within. And I'm not talking military. We know that ISIS and Al-Qaeda and all the others want to do attack the United States and do damage to the United States. As a matter of fact, we in the United States have 150 terrorist organizations right now operating in America. Five of them are operating right here in the District of Columbia. And our government, and these are the ones we know about.
Think about that. These are the ones that we know about.
Right.
You know, you think she's shy?
No.
No, I don't think she's shy.
It's good.
Think about this. She said that MSAs, which are Muslim Student Associations, they have more chapters on college campuses than Democrats and Republicans combined. This is a wave of infiltration. Mm-hmm. You know, Breitbart News reports in 2004, listen to this, a driver and his passenger piqued the interest of police as they were transiting the Maryland Chesapeake Bay Bridge in an unmarked car directly behind them. Suspicious arose as the passenger filmed the bridge's strength members above rather than the scenery below. Think about this. Stopping the vehicle, the officers found the driver had an outstanding warrant related to the Holy Foundation case. This led to a warrant to search his home. This is what they found. During that search, police discovered a secret hub basement in the house containing numerous documents in Arabic. One was a covert war plan designed to undermine the U.S. Constitution and laws by gradually introducing Sharia. Listen, Sharia law was being introduced in Irvine, Texas, not too long ago. We showed it to you. We showed you where the I believe it was the imam who was saying, yes, it's good to cut the hand. It's good to cut the hand. When we get back from this break, we're going to continue to talk more about this and what we can do. Join us.
You know, we got to begin to rethink being the church.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that's very important to understand right now, we have an offer for you. It's offer 1999. And it's number 1999. And it is called, you know, this is a conversation that I had about, you know, signs of the Lord's returning, because we're in those days. This is like the times of the signs of the Lord's returning. And it's very important to ask the question, are you ready? A lot of people are so into end time things and that type of stuff. And I'm not saying the world's coming to an end, but as you can see right here, it's you know, signs of the Lord's returning. Are you ready? And you even see the scripture right there. You see the scripture where he says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangels, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Wow.
And others will go to meet him in the air. I mean, this is in those days. And, you know, there's a lot of questions that you can have, but the most important question we need to know the answer to is the one that Nicodemus had, which is, how must I be saved?
Yes.
You know, not all these theories and stuff. And also I talk about in this to help you, and this is totally yours as a gift for partnering today, is the signs. What do these signs particularly mean? This battle for the Temple Mount that we're talking about, this is a sign of the Lord's returning. When you look at what's happening with our own nation, when you're seeing, you know, the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association putting out their magazine decision saying, prepare for persecution, prepare for when a nation turns its back on God, basically it's saying, these are signs, are rapidly moving signs, and you need to be prepared. We just want to give this to you, your partnership for any amount at all. And as our partners, we're doing this thing together. God knows, he sees us. He says, listen, I command you, this is the command, to be the light of the world, to be the salt of the earth. And you can partner today by going to vfntv.com and click on partner now, which you can see, or you can write to us at 6500 North Pensacola Boulevard, Pensacola, Florida, 32505, or you can even call 844-408-3688. And it's so important to understand how to connect. This is how, I mean, you want to, when the Lord returns, and he is, and we're going to all stand before the throne of God, you want to be able to say, you know what? Together, I stood with VFN TV to be the light, to keep the light shining 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and on the Gulf Coast every single day, Monday through Friday. Think about that. And it's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news that you know. And how does this happen? It happens because of you saying, you know what? I do want a partner. And what we want to do is give you this gift. It's called Signs of the Lord's Returning, Are You Ready? It's offer $19.99.
We appreciate your partnership. Do it today and also talk to other people about partnering. We love hearing from you, and yes, it's so encouraging when you call, when you write, when you send emails, when you like our Facebook page, because we know that we're not alone. And so many people are saying, listen, we understand that the answer is not in Washington, D.C. or who we elect, but the answer is Jesus. The answer is the gospel. The answer is the Lord. And together, it's a team that's coming together. We're partnering to keep the conversation light, and it's through our partnership and the stuff that we're doing together. I'm just so excited.
Yes.
And as the partners continue to come on, I mean, these yes. are wonderful resources that you need to feed your spirit, but also that you can share the word with your family and your friends. It takes yes. all of us,
yes.
and the times are short. So we're just privileged to have this time, you know, with you guys.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. As we come to the end of the program, you know, this is why this bill is so important. I want you to make sure you get in contact with your senator and your representative so you can support this bill. But, you know, it's not just the Muslim Brotherhood. There is mm-hmm. a caliphate. There, the Islamic jihadists want to do a caliphate, which is basically world domination. And, Steve, I know you have an article that outlines seven steps. We're going to try to include mm-hmm. as much as possible before this program. But if we miss any, you will make sure it's related for you on the yeah. torch. Can you share with us those steps?
Yeah, there's a Jordanian journalist, and he had befriended what turned out to be many terrorists within the al-Qaeda community. And from the information they had reportedly told this journalist, there was basically a seven-phase plan that basically the community of Islam has to attacking the West. And it starts with 2000. Basically,
it's radical Islam.
This is basically right? radical Islam. And the first phase was basically provoking America to war. What did they use? What happened in 2001, which was 9/11. And that phase was basically set to go from 2000 to 2003. And they consider that very successful. I mean, look what happened in 2001 and then what transpired to send American troops both to Iraq and then eventually to Afghanistan.
Which was the 9/11 attack.
Which was 9/11 attack of the Twin Towers. And it continues in the second phase of two, and it goes to basically 2006. And I'm just briefly just overviewing this. Like I said, we're going to relate this to you. It says Iraq should become the center for all global operations where an army will be set up there. And you see how much of basically the pivotal focus of the Middle East was Iraq. I mean, we had operations. I've been to Fallujah. I've been in the vicinity of basically all the way to Baghdad, which is the capital of Iraq. And this is exactly what's happened.
I'm thinking how long we've been there already and
oh, yes.
the resources and,
oh, yes.
and only to pull oh, out yes. and see ISIS come and take it over. It's a disgrace.
Oh, yeah. And it continues by saying the fact that, you know, you have basically the third phase where you have basically the Islamic community arising and standing up, and that should go from 2000 to 2010. Fourth phase coming up to 2013, which is what we talked about last week in regards to cyber terrorism, saying the fact that attacks are going to be carried out, and it continues. And you can look and just like play by play by play where they are. And it's just like, how much are we unaware in the West to see what is being carried out and the strategic plan that they have?
If you missed that program, make sure you watch it, because we talk about Ted Koppel's book about mm-hmm. Lights Out, how there's only three power grids mm-hmm. for the whole country. And basically how easy it mm-hmm. would be to attack it. They already yeah. have infiltrated it.
Yeah, and it continues on by saying in regards to, you know, you were just saying the caliphate is because we were just watching a previous video. It's just like that Islam is against colonization. We talked about the Sykes-Picot, and you're seeing a lot of the borders of the countries now. It was not what it was 500, 1,000 years ago. And basically how it says the fifth phase, this will be the point in which an Islamic state or caliphate can be declared. Between 2013 and 2016, Western influence in the Islamic world will be so reduced and Israel weakened so much that resistance will not be feared.
Well, that's the goal. The goal is to get Israel out, but there's mm-hmm. You have to wonder why they haven't gotten there yet. It's because mm-hmm. they have a plan. They're going different places, but it's going to end up in Israel.
Mm-hmm. And continuing on the sixth phase, where it says it goes up to basically 2016, the Islamic army will instigate the fight between the believers and non-believers. Mm. And it's just that straightforward. This is what it's about. Like they see someone who does not believe in Islam as considered an infidel, a non-believer.
Wow. Think about it. This is a plan that's been set in motion. Looks like they've been trying to carry it out successfully. Mm-hmm. And here we are. We stand at this moment in time. And the question is, what are we going to do? You know, we can close our eyes and get lost in the things that we, you know, do as Americans and get, you know, caught up in the next holiday. Or we can actually begin to seek out the Lord mm-hmm. for his wisdom, for his direction. We can actually repent and turn our hearts back to God. And we can encourage our elected representatives to take, you know, to introduce these bills that will begin to start making America safe again. You know, if we go the government route without seeking God first, I don't think that's going to work out well for us. Mm-hmm. I think it all starts out well when we turn our hearts to God and acknowledge him. We want to pray for you right now. Yes. We always ask that if you would, please continue to pray for us. We need your prayers, but let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you, God, that you're exceedingly and wonderfully mm-hmm. good. Lord, we thank you that you have an amazing plan for us. Lord, we ask you, God, to forgive our nation. Forgive us for our sins. Forgive us for thinking that our plan is better than your plan. Lord, protect our nation. Lord, protect it against those that will want to do us harm, that would try to destroy this country, Lord, that send missionaries all over the world. Lord, we ask you, God, to end abortion and send revival. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. Chris, isn't abiding, spending time with the Lord, just an awesome thing?
Oh, it definitely is. And that, you know, abiding is something that's just totally changed my life. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a point in time that I didn't even think that I could hear from God. I didn't know that I could spend time with God and hear from him. And it's just amazing. And I can't tell you how many times that through abiding that God spoke to me something that morning that I needed that day. That was something that came up that God spoke to me and to be able to encourage somebody else, or it was to help me through a particular situation that I was, you know, that God knew that I was going to run into that day.
It's like a chain link event where God gives you a rhema word for that, a living, active, breathing word that it blesses you.
Exactly.
But it blesses another person. Yes. Another person is living and
active. Oh, yeah. Yes. And it's just, you know, it just continues. It just keeps going and going, you know.
It's exciting, isn't
it? It's very exciting.
We can do this for the rest of our lives.
Yes, the rest of our lives. And it's just, you know, to be able to commune with the creator of the universe.
Awesome.
You know, and he speaks to you, and he speaks to you clearly. Right. And he speaks to you the way that you hear.
Right.
You know, because, you know, we don't all hear the same way, but God knows, you know, how to speak to us. And,
right.
And it's just awesome. It's just, it's powerful. You know, it's life-changing.
Yeah. When you abide with the Lord, like he talks about in John 15, you know, apart from abiding in him, we can accomplish nothing. When we do that at the beginning of our day, the day is nothing but amen mm-hmm. instead of oh no. Mm-hmm. Because God's already spoken to us about our day. Maybe you're thinking, you know, I want that life. I want to be able to abide with God. Listen, we have a simple plan available for you right now. It's free. All you have to do is go to iabide.org. That's iabide.org and request your free plan today. Listen, you're called, and by the way, you can't do anything outside of abiding with the Lord. That's iabide.org.